Certainly a different rendition, wasn't it? It was good. Thank you. Before we just get started, just hard to believe, the weather certainly lets us know it's almost Thanksgiving. And we are celebrating Thanksgiving here, starting at 1:30, I believe, until about 4 o'clock. And one of the reasons we do it is we just think it's important that everyone has a place to go on Thanksgiving Day. So thankful for this Albany City Rescue Mission. They do an awesome job, and so appreciative of their work. But we're kind of further in and away from that. So if you know of anybody that just doesn't have a place to go, they have a place here. But we do need to get that count as soon as possible. In fact, we need it by next Sunday, so you can call it in even during the week and just let us know if you're planning to attend or bringing someone or someone you know is coming. So I appreciate that. Thank you. All right, I don't know about you, but I just like to read signs. I don't know why, but signs are kind of interesting. And here are a few signs that you might find of interest. This sign was at a veterinarian's office waiting room. Be back in 5 minutes. Sit. Stay. Kind of works. At a computer store, there was this sign. Out for a quick bite. B-Y-T-E. Gotta be. All right, forget that one. All right. A plumber had this sign. We repair what your husband fixed. Yes. This was actually quite good. A psychic hotline service advertised, don't call us, we'll call you. On a receptionist's desk, there was this sign, we shoot every third salesman, and the second one just left. And finally, my favorite, a secondhand store ran this ad, we exchange anything, why not bring your wife along and get a wonderful bargain? All right, yes, that's a good one. Oh, gee, you got to have a sense of humor, huh? All right. Now that we got that over with and we're warmed up, I want to continue our series in the book of Revelation. And I've entitled the message this morning, The Power of Silence. The Power of Silence. Father, I thank you for what's transpired. I thank you for Libby being here with us this morning. And the worship time. And now it's time to look at your word. And so I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you are welcome here. That you would come in a powerful way. That you would visit us, that you would manifest your kingdom, give us ears to hear, soft hearts, fill me afresh, let your word come in power, may it do what you called it to do in eternity past. You knew of this day and this hour and this moment, now may Jesus be exalted, and I ask for this in your precious name, amen. Skip, can you play the video?
When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightning, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. Trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck. A third of the moon and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice,
"Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound."
Revelation chapter 8, it opens up with what we call the trumpet judgments. This is when God begins to judge the earth. This is when he begins to pour out his wrath upon the earth, and no doubt this would be a terrifying time to live on planet earth. Yet what really caught my attention were the first five verses of Revelation and chapter 8. First, we are told that Jesus Christ opens the seventh seal. Skip, can you put up the chart? Just want to give you kind of a brief overview of how this looks. Remember, this 70th week of Daniel, this last seven-year period that Daniel talked about 2,500 years ago, that Hebrew prophet, he said it begins with the unleashing of the white horse, which we saw in Revelation 6, the Antichrist. He will make a peace treaty with Israel. And it's interesting, you know, that's where most of the activity is, in the Middle East. And one day you're going to hear about a man, and I think very soon, who is going to bring peace to the Middle East. And Israel will sign a covenant with their enemies, and it will be for 7 years. And so then you see from seal number one, which is the unleashing the Antichrist. I want you to see the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist is rising to power. People, it said, in fact, in the Bible, are following him. We'll see this in later chapters in Revelation. In fact, by the midpoint of the tribulation, we call that the abomination of desolation, the fifth seal. That is when the Antichrist is going to walk into the newly rebuilt Jewish temple, and he's going to say, "I am God of the flesh, I am your God." And he's going to say to the Jews, "I'm your Messiah." And he's going to say to the Muslim world, "I am the 12th Imam." And he says, "Now you must worship me, and you must do it by taking my mark, 666. And at that time, tremendous persecution is going to break out on the believers. We see that beginning at seal number 5. It's going to be a great time, though, for the rest of the world, by the way. The rest of the world is going to be saying peace and safety. Nothing is happening at seal 5. He's at the height of his power now, at the midpoint of the tribulation. The economic system is in place, and everybody's doing great unless you are a believer or a Jew. And Jesus said if this time hadn't been cut short, no one would live. And suddenly, there is the sixth seal. We saw that last week. That is the transition point. That is what I believe is the rapture of the church occurs at the sixth seal. And what it says is, in Matthew chapter 24, suddenly there's a sign of the Son of Man. And people have wondered, what is that sign? I'll tell you what it is. Suddenly, at the sixth seal, as tremendous martyrdom is going on, the world will see Jesus Christ visibly. Can you imagine? All around the world, you will see Jesus Christ visibly, and the believers will go, "Yes!" Because our day of salvation has come. But can you imagine if you're an unbeliever? You will begin to quake because it says, now they know that the wrath of the Lamb is coming upon the earth. And so that is where we are. We're at the seventh seal. And it says in the Bible, it says in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1, when Jesus Christ opens the seventh seal, it says suddenly there is a half hour of silence all throughout the heaven. Can you imagine the suspense? Can you imagine the fear that it would create on planet Earth? There has been all of this fury on planet Earth. There's been earthquakes and whatnot, ominous signs in the heavens. And then Jesus Christ, he opens up the seventh seal. It completely unrolls. The entire heaven can read it. And what is heaven's response? Stunning silence. All praise, all exaltation, all alleluias come to a cease. No one says a word. This is what I call the silence of awe. Heaven stands in awe because of what is about to befall the earth. And all of earth is looking up into heaven, and they are in fearful awe because of what about to befall them and what is about to be unleashed on planet earth. The Hebrew prophet Zephaniah wrote this in chapter 1. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Hebrew prophet Zechariah proclaimed in chapter 2, be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his dwelling. Suddenly, the Almighty, the sovereign heaven, is going to rouse himself from the very throne room, and he is going to give the signal that all of heaven has been waiting for a long, long time. You know what that signal is? To commence the beginning of the day of the Lord, which begins at the seventh seal. All of heaven has been crying out, God, when are you going to bring justice to this world? When are you going to stop all of the evil and the darkness and the sin that is going on? And that's going to start when the Father gives a signal. And suddenly Jesus will break open that seventh seal. And that commences the day of the Lord, and he is going to begin to bring justice to this world. He's going to bring justice to all the rebellious in preparation for a time when he will reign on planet earth forever and ever and ever. Now, the next thing that caught my attention in these first five verses is this angel. Skip, can you put up the picture? It says that there's an angel with a censer there in heaven. And we see in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3 this, that the prayers of all the saints were mingled with the incense from the golden censer. And the smoke of the incense together with the prayers of the saints went up before God himself. This is an incredible picture being drawn. Do you realize that your prayers matter? Do you realize that God does hear the very cries of your heart? And so often those cries can be summed up in what Jesus told the disciples to pray. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, remember that prayer? Oh, Papa, who art in heaven, holy, perfect, and wonderful is your name and your plan. So let your kingdom come, Father. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize that one day God is going to answer that prayer? And in fact, we see starting in Revelation in chapter 8, the opening of the seventh seal, the trumpet judgment, God is beginning to answer that prayer all the way back 2,000 years ago, which Jesus gave in Matthew in chapter 6. If you remember in Revelation chapter 6, the fifth seal, the opening of it, we saw the martyrs, all of these Christian martyrs under the altar, and they were crying out, Lord, how long? When will you bring justice finally to this earth? Justice to my life. And do you remember what Jesus said? You got to wait just a little bit longer. You got to be patient just a little bit longer. And my guess is there's not a person in here who hasn't experienced some injustice in your life. And maybe you're in a lot of pain this morning because of the injustice in your life. Do you realize that we live in an unjust world? We live in an unjust world. And I wish I could tell you that injustice is going to stop. But if we understand what our Bible said, injustice is actually going to begin to increase more and more on planet Earth. And you know what the temptation is? I'll tell you what the temptation is. I'll tell you what my flesh wants to do. I want my pound of flesh. I want to handle it. I want to take it into my own hands. I want retribution. You ever experienced that feeling? The Apostle Paul, though, cautions us in Romans in chapter 12 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul says this, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. You know, there was once this atheistic farmer. And he wrote a letter to the editor of his local newspaper, and it just so happened that the editor was a strong follower of Jesus Christ. And the atheistic farmer wrote this, in defiance of your God, I plowed my fields this year on Sunday. I cultivated and fertilized them on Sunday, and I reaped them on Sunday. And this October, I had the biggest crop I have ever had. How do you explain that? Wrote the atheistic farmer. And the Christian editor responded by writing this: God does not always settle his accounts in October. The book of Revelation tells us that a day is coming, and I believe that day is coming very rapidly, that God, in fact, is going to settle his accounts with Satan, with the Antichrist, with the false prophets, and all the evil people who have committed rebellion on the earth. And he's going to do it in a big, big way, as we are going to see. And this begins to happen with the opening of the seventh seal. Skip, can you put up that chart again? With the opening of the seventh seal, we see that the seventh seal actually contains what we call the seven trumpet judgments, all right? The seventh trumpet actually contains what we call the seven bowls. So it's going to be like, have you ever been, you know, on a 4th of July, and, you know, you start out kind of slow with those fireworks, and then near the end, ba-boom, 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 and then you have the grand finale. Well, that's what you see happening here. You see these things increasing. So with the opening of the seventh seal, you begin to see the seven trumpet judgments. And I'll tell you that it's going to be an incredible, incredible time not to be on planet Earth. In fact, we are told this in verse 7, the first angel blew his trumpet, and the heavens rained down fire and hail mixed with blood. So vast, it says, was the devastation that one third of all the trees and all the grass on planet Earth were burned up. In verses 8 and 9, the second angel blows his trumpet, and John describes something like a large fireball, and it's falling into the sea. This event will be like a dozen thermonuclear warheads going off all at once. The result is one third of the oceans become polluted, one third of sea life is killed, and one third of ocean-going vessels are destroyed. In fact, I am told right now on the high seas, there's 25,300 ocean-going vessels. Can you imagine 8,000 of them suddenly being destroyed all at once? That's what happens at the second trumpet. Then when the third trumpet is blowing in verses 10 and 11, and the third angel blows the trumpet, John sees a great star falling from the sky. The word there for star in the Greek is aster, from which we get our word asteroid. The Apostle John actually gives this asteroid a name, wormwood. Wormwood means poisonous or bitter. And as this asteroid falls into the atmosphere from outer space, it apparently kind of disintegrates and it spreads debris all over the planet Earth. And the end result is one third of the Earth's fresh water supplies are poisoned. And then we are told in verse 12, the fourth angel blows its trumpet. And John tells us now judgment comes to the heavens as one third of the light from the sun and the moon and the stars will somehow be diminished. I believe it is actually quite possible because of these two huge space rocks that have just collided with the Earth. They have thrown up such debris and such dust into the upper atmosphere, blocking out significant portions of light from the sun and the moon and the stars. And Dr. Luke writes this in Luke chapter 21. There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars on earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the earth, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. The first four trumpets have now passed, and the earth is devastated, but God is just beginning his justice. God is just now beginning to bring his judgments. In fact, in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 8, it says that John sees an eagle. He sees an eagle flying in the sky, and the eagle is crying out, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth." Skip, can you put up that picture? Now, that in itself would be terrifying. The question is, why is this eagle crying out, "Woe, Woe! Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Skip play the video and you'll see why now. Watch this.
Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running in battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, still 2 more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the 4 horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the 6th angel who had the trumpet,
"Release the 4 angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates."
So the 4 angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill 1/3 of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these 3 plagues, 1/3 of mankind was killed. By the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts.
How would you like to be on planet Earth then? At trumpets 5 and 6, the earth sees something that it's never seen before. Literally, God allows Satan to release his fury. Hell on earth comes. In fact, you know, in Revelation in chapter 12, and we'll get there in a couple of weeks, we see that Satan is thrown out of heaven for the final time. What a lot of people don't know is that Satan actually has access at least to a portion of heaven right now. Did you know that Satan can go to the very throne room of God? And you know what Satan does in the throne room of God? He accuses you, and you, and you, and you, and me. One of his titles in the Bible is called the Accuser of the Brethren. And Satan cries out, "God, have you seen Matt Malassi? The man sinned again. He deserves punishment. He deserves judgment." And Jesus steps forward, and why Jesus would do that for Matt Malassi, I don't know. Still trying to figure that out. But Jesus says, "Father, my blood covers Matt Malassi. My blood, my precious blood covers Matt Malassi. He's your child, and he is my friend." Never, never forget.
No matter what happens, the accuser, the brethren will accuse you, but you tell them, that's true, I sinned. I say, Satan, I agree with him, I sinned, but you don't realize I got a great advocate in heaven. He's the advocate of all advocates, and that's why I never live under condemnation. There is no condemnation for you who live in Christ Jesus. All you must do is confess your sin. And I say, I confess my sin. You're right, Satan. But the blood of Jesus now covers me and I'm free. So get out of here. But when it says in Revelation chapter 12, Satan is thrown out for the final time, it says that he is furious. He is furious when he finds himself on planet Earth because he knows that his time is short. And in Trumpets 5 and 6, we see hell come to Earth. You see, Satan and the demons, for the first time, we will see them in their true colors. You know, right now, Satan and the demons, they generally appear as angels of light. You know, have you ever heard about UFOs? I am absolutely convinced UFOs are just demonic delusions. They're able to do that. A lot of people who are involved in the New Age talk about these higher spiritual beings who appear as light. Again, those are Satan. That is demons. And they are able to deceive right now. But when Trumpets 5 and 6 come, they're no longer going to deceive. I mean, they're just going to come in their stark evilness. For the first time, the world will really see how dark, how evil Satan and the demonic beings are. And we are going to see literally hell unleashed on earth. Do you realize that Satan, do you realize the demons hate you? You really do have an enemy, much greater enemy than you recognize. They absolutely hate you. You know why Satan and the demons hate you? Because, see, you were made in the image of God. They're not. You are made in the image of God. And it also says in the Bible that we are going to be a little higher than angels. And even more than that, it actually says, now get this, that Matt Malassi is going to judge angels. Now that would be a God sighting, wouldn't it? Can you believe that? That's what it says for believers. And it says Satan and the demons hate that reality. They hate that fact. They hate you. And they're going to do everything they can to bring you down and to bring me down. And so I just want you to understand, in Trumpets 5 and 6, hell is unleashed on earth. And thank God the true believers aren't there. Now here's how I want to end, because this is what absolutely amazes me. As I really looked at this whole thing in chapters 8 and 9, here's what absolutely amazed me. Skip, can you put up those verses in conclusion? So you saw all those two videos, and it says, watch, now watch this. The rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues, now watch this, still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, their sexual immoralities, or their thefts. Now, you know, what absolutely amazes me is that these people know that these judgments that had just been unleashed are coming because of the wrath of God, the judgment of God, because of their sin, because of their rebellion, because of their immorality. And they have no remorse, no conviction, and no repentance. And what absolutely terrifies me is how hard the human heart can become. There is nothing to me more tragic. I don't care if you think losing your job, cancer, divorce, you name it, these are horrible things. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more horrible that can befall you than your heart becomes so hardened that you can actually sin, you can do wrong, and you no longer feel remorse or conviction or repentance. That's a dead person. That is a dead person. You may be physically alive, but you're dead. Your soul is dead. You're spiritually dead. And I'm telling you, you're seeing that happen across the land now. You're seeing that happen across the earth. Fewer and fewer people are having the ability to repent. Fewer and fewer people, their consciences are becoming so violated, so crusted, they have no ability to repent. I pray that won't happen to you. It says in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5, do not quench the work of the Holy Spirit. Do not quench him.
If you are sensing the Holy Spirit moving in your life, do not put him off. Because what happens when you put the Holy Spirit off, your heart becomes that much harder. You become that much more callous to the point you can come to that you no longer are able to feel remorse. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. The Holy Spirit always will bring you life. And if he's moving on your heart this morning to trust Jesus Christ, you've been waiting, and you know who you are, then now is the time to do it. Because someday, you know what? The Holy Spirit will no longer be moving on your heart. If you're a believer and the Holy Spirit's been moving on your heart with some sin, something that you've been doing, I'm telling you, do not put him off. Do not put him off. Because see, the Holy Spirit's always coming to bring you life. He always is, not to condemn you. He reveals things so that you're convicted, you repent, and you know what? He brings healing and life to you. So respond. This is my challenge this morning. Respond to the working of the Holy Spirit as we sing this last song. Father, I thank you for your word. I know it's a terrifying thing, but you put it in the Bible to be a terrifying thing. None of us has to experience what we just saw this morning if we truly place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If we just come in all humility and repent, say, I know I have sinned. I know I have sinned. I know I have lived a selfish life. And now I just kneel before you and I receive your precious blood. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me whole. None of this has to befall the believer. You send this as a warning to both believer and unbeliever alike. And I pray we'll just take heed as to what the Holy Spirit has revealed this morning through your precious word, Father. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.